Election for president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod will take place by electronic ballot June 17th through the 20th. Please vote to re-elect LCMS President Matt Harrison. If you're not a voter, encourage your pastor and congregation's lay voter to do so.
It doesn't get any more American than religious freedom, that topic. It's more American than apple pie and hot dogs.
The whole sexual revolution requires so much propaganda. They require propaganda because what they are advocating is not sustainable naturally.
The writers and the producers of contemporary Christian music are not ashamed of their mysticism. They are mystics. They're proud of it. They're not trying to hide it. If you said, hey, that song is mystical, they'd say, thank you.
And I think the Ascension shows us very clearly that heaven is our final destiny, but that heaven is already here among us because Christ is among us, and he will never leave us or forsake us.
Swedish Lutheran lawyers, love issues, etc., while bike commuting to work in Stockholm, Sweden. Thank you, America, for supporting Europe in this very hard time.
Is it possible that the stories that Jesus told, we usually refer to them as the parables, these extended metaphors, these comparisons, often with the kingdom of God, is it possible that some of them are real stories, historical stories? Some of them almost sound like they could be, or drawn from real life. The answer turns out to be, well, maybe so, and maybe not. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc., coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. We'll be dealing with questions like that from our listeners as we go through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. We'll spend some time with Joy Pullman of The Federalist discussing LGBT activism and children. We'll teach a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker of Law and Gospel on the birth of Moses in Exodus chapters 1 and 2. And then Lyman Stone joins us to discuss political views and the U.S. marriage rate. It turns out that as women, young women in particular, become more politically liberal and young men become more politically conservative, they're not finding each other and getting married. And it affects the marriage rate, and that affects a lot of things. It's time for listener email, the Issues Etc. comment line, or email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. Let's begin with a question about our 2023 Making the Case Conference.
This is Paul Milwaukee observing that LPR soon faces the task of getting people and things from the Sea of Collinsville to River Forest, Illinois, and back. Last year, Pastor Wilkin declared himself on air willing to die in his role while subject to alleged unsafe driving. I suggest that all going to the RF conference agree on a safe transportation method. If this cannot be done, each transports himself, herself, and things in custody as each sees fit. Perhaps commercial containerization can help. Maybe Mr. Substitute Organ Service would fly the willing from Collinsville International to O'Hare and back. No Jeff and Pastor in the same vehicle, please. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, thank you very much. Well, he's referring to Jeff's tendency when we drive, usually in a large van, to our conference in Chicago every year. Jeff, on the way up, it's fine. We've broken Jeff of the habit of trying to type on his laptop and steer the vehicle at the same time. So it's relatively safe. It's the trip back that makes everyone nervous because Jeff tends to get a little sleepy on the way back, and he likes to drive at night. Do you like to drive at night?
I can't stand. Older I get, I cannot drive at night anymore. I just drove to Florida when we were on break, and I will not drive at night.
Well, what switched it for us was actually not our own sense of self-preservation, but I think it was Jeff's wife who said, don't do that anymore. So we're actually going to just change up our travel schedule and come back on Sunday morning. We have divine service on Saturday night to end the conference. Then we'll drive back Sunday morning in broad daylight and well-rested after a good night's sleep. Now, he had mentioned, the name escapes me, and it always does, our pilot friend.
Chris Lemker.
Chris Lemker. We actually would, that would be great, but I think the plane he usually flies only has room for two additional people besides the pilot. And very, very little cargo space. I remember, do you remember trying to get our old big Pelican case out of the back of that plane?
We were doing a remote from your alma mater, Concordia University, Seward, Nebraska.
And he flew we had a Pelican case that was about 4 feet long at the time.
Is it Pelican or Gator case? I call it
a Pelican case. It's just a hard-sided case for carrying equipment. And we had this thing. It weighed a lot because we carried a lot more equipment at the time. And I remember trying to get it out of the back of this basically two-seater plane it had to have been the airport outside of Seward, Nebraska. Is that correct? A little tiny airport outside of Seward, Nebraska. And I can't imagine actually traveling with that. It took up the whole back of the plane. So unless he's flying a bigger aircraft, that would just be impossible. We need to transport Jeff, me, Lynn, and then our stuff doesn't take hardly any room. Our broadcast equipment takes basically the size of a large suitcase. It's all of Lynn's stuff that she brings up for registration and all those things that all disappear during the conference. So he'd have to have a considerably larger aircraft to carry all of us and our stuff.
So are you all ready for the conference?
Yes, I believe I am.
I wish I could describe your body language with that affirmative answer.
This one, for some reason, maybe it's just because our good friend Bill Barr won't be there to give us a warm welcome, but this one, for some reason, I'm anticipating with a little more anxiety. I don't know why. I don't know. We've changed the schedule a little bit.
It should be less strenuous because it's not tight.
It isn't tight. We've tried to loosen it up.
We got rid of one speaker.
And so it's going to be a great lineup. I'm looking forward to seeing all the listeners out there, and I'm looking forward to meeting some of those new guests. I think we're actually, have we completed scheduling guests for the initial broadcast on Friday afternoon?
Yes, we'll be interviewing Dr. Beverly Yonke and Pastor David Fleming of Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel, during the 3 o'clock hour. We do a live remote broadcast that kicks off the conference every year from Concordia University, Chicago. And then we'll be interviewing Dr. Angus Manoj of Concordia University, Wisconsin, on environment and environmentalism.
And I'm just increasingly impressed with the folks up at Concordia University, Chicago, how they are really going out of their way to make sure that we're completely prepared. Jeff and I don't worry about the technical aspects too much of it anymore because we show up and they're completely ready for us. And this year they're accommodating a few sound issues that we had, and we have a couple of speakers who do want to use visuals, so they're making space for that. So ordinarily we'd say no visuals, no PowerPoint, because we're doing this for, of course, 500 people there at the conference, but we're also doing it for the recording that will be played at a later date on issues, et cetera. And sometimes visuals, they don't come across well when it's purely audio.
Do you remember the only other time we allowed visuals?
It was Scott Klusendorf. And did we also allow David Menton
to do
it?
Yes, there's two. That's right. There's two. I remembered Menton. I forgot about Scott Klusendorf.
Scott pretty much required visuals because it wasn't through his entire presentation. He just asked that he be able to show a short video. And the whole point was the visuals of abortion. And so he did that. And then Dr. David Menton just said, I want to do a PowerPoint presentation. But I think that was when we were still doing the conference here in Collinsville, down the street.
Yeah, I share your anxiety, but as you mentioned, Mary Caesar, Jim Kaczynski, Rob Glinke, their staff at Concordia University of Chicago, and President Russell Dawn's hospitality alleviates some of that anxiety. And then Deacon Lynn Fredrickson, I don't know how we did these conferences without her.
I have no idea.
You know, she takes care of all the registrations. Speaking of that, there is a waiting list. You can get on that waiting list. I always see like 10 to 12 name tags that don't get picked up. People don't show up.
No shows.
Yeah. So if you want to get on that waiting list, send an email to Lynn, LYNN at issuesetc.org. Again, it kicks off with a live broadcast of Issues, Etc. from 3 to 5. Then we eat supper. And then I think it's Kyle Mann of the Babylon Bee. You have to have visuals.
Yeah.
For the Babylon Bee.
Absolutely.
And then we'll take a break, and then we'll have Mark and Molly Hemingway, and then we end with Compline, and then start with Matins the next morning. And Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod President Matt Harrison, and down the line of speakers, Archbishop Cordelione, Break for Lunch, him sing with Pastor Will Whedon, end with the final speaker will end with Pastor Peter Bender, Break for Dinner, and then the Divine Service.
And that Friday night, there's a
singles event.
Singles event on Friday night, right after the conference.
Will you be showing up at that?
It's 9:30. So scheduled to start at 9:30. Now, granted, it's just across a short little walk across their quad there to get to whatever that room is in the basement of their student center. And I will be there briefly, but it's 9:30. And that is, strictly speaking, my bedtime.
That's so. About the time most Cardinals games in,
yep.
Right?
Yeah.
Unless it's in Mountain or Pacific time zones.
And then I can't stay awake for those. But lately, we kind of know how those are going to turn out. Even if we're leading for almost the entire game, we kind of always know how it's going to turn out lately. It's pretty predictable. Statistically predictable. My biggest anxiety for this actually has been for the Q&A with Mark and Molly. Because there's so much stuff happening right now where our listeners want to hear from them and get their thoughts and their analysis. There's almost too much to talk about there. So there are a lot of things we have to talk about that are today, you know, a former president of the United States, not only indicted, but has been arraigned on 37 charges in Florida. So we cannot not talk about that. But you don't want that to be all there is.
And if you want to find a conference schedule, just go to issuesetc.org and look for the link for a 2023 conference. Let's try to get an email in for the break. This is Ken in Michigan. In Mr. Mattingly's latest appearance on your show, he states, quote, capitalism isn't set up to handle 50-50 divides in our country, end quote. He was speaking in reference to the disparate unmet needs of woke versus non-woke consumers. Again, Mr. Mattingly is expressing his anti-capitalistic bias. In this instance, he does so by conflating capitalism with crony capitalism. To him, there is no distinction. And since he asserts that capitalism fails to meet the needs of the marketplace, then it must go that we need even more state intervention into the marketplace, which is to say we need even more crony capitalism. It is crony capitalism, not capitalism, that fails to handle 50-50 divides in the marketplace. Mr. Mattingly already knows everything there is to know about socialism. I recommend he read The Anti-Capitalistic Mentality, authored by Ludwig von Mises. Thanks for listening in Michigan, Ken.
Honestly, I don't think that was in any way intended by Terry. It was simply an offhand comment that not capitalism in general, but our system in the United States of large multinational corporations that own about 80% of everything we come in contact with as consumers, you can count on probably one hand the corporations that own everything or nearly everything that we come in contact with, except for small businesses. And I think what Terry was saying is that system, he's not indicting capitalism, that system simply does not know what to do with 50% of the consumers being ideologically opposed to 50% of the other consumers. And what do you do? It's not built to respond to half the country saying, I'm not going to buy your product anymore. You've gone too far. Go look at InBev stock. Go look at Target stock. And you'll see very quickly that they're not set up. I think it was our corporate system was conceived as politically neutral. Maybe not behind closed doors, but certainly their front-facing personas were crafted as politically neutral. They're not anymore. And since they're not anymore, they're all scratching their heads about when maybe the shareholders meeting comes around. They say, why has our stock tanked 16% in the last 6 months? Well, we had this marketing snafu with the transgender influencer. Well, whose idea was that? Well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. And it's like they're learning for the very first time that they might not want to anger half the U.S. population or offend half the U.S. population on either side. I think that's all Terry was saying. He wasn't making a grand statement about capitalism. He's just talking about why we end up with things like boycotts of Bud Light the number one selling beer in the United States. Number one, by far the number one selling beer in the United States. And now distributors won't even take it from the manufacturer. They say, no, I don't need it. I don't want it. And there are people being paid millions and millions of dollars at InBev to try and figure out how that mistake was made and what to do about it. And people lose their jobs. So that's all what Terry was talking
about. We have no evidence that anybody lost their job at Anheuser-Busch.
At Anheuser-Busch.
Somebody was reassigned, but that person in charge did not lose her job.
Reassigned or suspended or something.
Suspended. Yeah, but without pay. I mean, I can't believe it. I'm actually, for the first time, maybe more cynical than Wilkin. I mean, you said they're learning. Do you really think they're learning? You really think that
these
Fortune 500 companies are learning?
How many times have we asked the question of various guests in various ways, in one form or another, why are these institutions risking their goodwill with the public just to get a good, what is an ESG score from some organization? Why are they risking all of that? Why are they taking a loss? The best answer we got was from, who was it? We had it at the actuality in the open for a while. This kind of corporate wokeism, they don't care if they lose money. They're more interested in virtue signaling than and being on, quote unquote, the right side of history than actually the bottom line. You know, back when it was just about the bottom line, they said, let's just keep politics and the sexual revolution out of it. But those days are gone. We'll be right back.
Heard the rumblings about the 68th Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? Well, it's coming up this summer in Milwaukee. In convention, LCMS delegates comprised of both laity and clergy gather for worship, study of God's Word, and to discuss and vote on the business of Synod. For a preview of what's coming up, pick up a copy of the June-July issue of the Lutheran Witness, cph.org to subscribe to the magazine, or witness.lcms.org to learn more. The Lutheran Witness, helping you interpret the world from a Lutheran perspective.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for your service.
Our church loves and is grateful for those that serve our country. Operation Barnabas, part of Ministry to the Armed Forces, equips you to reach out to veterans in your community to bring Christ to those that served. Call Ministry to the Armed Forces at 314-996-1337 or email lcmschaps@lcms.org.
Thank you for your service.
Thank you.
God bless our military.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Mount Zion Lutheran Church in Greenfield, Wisconsin is a congregation of those gathered by the Spirit of the Lord around His saving word and sacraments. At the center of our life together is the divine service of the risen Jesus, the Lamb of God who was slain, who takes away the sin of the world. If you are in the Milwaukee area, we invite you to share with us in our Lord's gifts of forgiveness and new life. Services are on Saturdays at 5 p.m. and Sundays at 9 a.m. For more information, visit our website at mountziongreenfield.org.
You wish your classical school could do more for struggling learners, uncertain where to begin? The Memoria Press Schools Division includes Cheryl Swope, author of Simply Classical, A Beautiful Education for Any Child. The Schools Division will happily assist your school. Memoria Press offers an entire line of special needs resources for teaching math, reading, spelling, and more. Contact schools at memoriapress.com or order directly from simplyclassical.com with coupon code LPR23.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That email address, talkback@issuesetc.org, and the comment line, 618-223-8382.
Here's a great question from Bruce. Does the Greek word translated as parable in the New Testament rule out the option of New Testament parables being true historical stories? Parables are often described as puzzles or riddles. Regarding Lutheran Witness article, July, August 2008, this addresses the theological reason for the parable. My question, however, is whether the parable did or did not actually happen. Why would Jesus, with omniscient knowledge, need to make up a story? He has all of history, past and future, to draw upon. I understand this may be a moot point, but unless the Greek word or Jesus' description of parables requires otherwise, I prefer to believe parables actually happened. Thanks for the email. Thanks for listening, Bruce.
It's a possibility. Now, as to whether or not the word requires that the story being told, the narrative being told in the parable, be a made-up story or an invention, it doesn't necessarily. All that the word in Greek, parabole, it just means comparison, to set one thing beside another. So parables are extended comparisons. Jesus will say, he'll ask rhetorically, what shall I liken this generation to? And then he'll tell a little story. Or the kingdom of heaven is like. And he starts with those, that language that signals to the reader or to the hearer that he's going to make a comparison. Now, you can compare something to true events. You can compare them to one another, and you're still making a comparison, a parable. That's all it means, a comparison. You're still making a comparison, but that doesn't necessarily mean that you are comparing two true things or two actual events. So some have speculated that the parable of the rich man and Lazarus is, he's talking about actual people. And the reason they speculate is because he gives the man a name. Now, there are theological reasons why he might give that man a name, but he names the poor man in the parable. And people say, well, maybe he's talking about an actual poor man and an actual rich man. Could be. There are others where the parables are likened to real life events that could have happened. But I don't think Jesus' omniscience makes it unnecessary for him to make things up or somehow inappropriate for him to make things up. I think his omniscience makes him kind of the ultimate one to be able to tell a story that's an accurate comparison. So let's take the parable of the prodigal son. Has that circumstance ever occurred in real life in all the history of mankind? Perhaps. But Jesus inserts details into that parable that make it highly unlikely that a Near Eastern father would behave the way the father in the parable act. And that's kind of the point, that the father acts out of character as any other person would act. So all the word itself means is comparison. We've kind of taken it into, what did you say, a riddle. Part of the reason Jesus does speak in parables, and he admits this himself, is so that those who have faith and hear him speaking the word of God understand, and those who do not have faith don't understand. But sometimes even those who do have faith, the disciples, oh, you of little faith, they need them explained. You have the parable of the sower, and Jesus sits down afterwards and he explains every element of that parable in detail. But he doesn't do that with most of the other parables. They're intended to convey meaning to the audience that has ears to hear. That's why he will often say, let him who has ears, let him hear. That's not about having one ear on either side of your head. It's about those who have faith, let him listen to these words. So the word itself simply means comparison.
Here's an email from Alex about a once Lutheran fraternal benefit society. Alex writes, it would be interesting to talk about the progressive liberalization of Thrivent and its history. Its latest Instagram post supporting Pride Month seems to fly in the faith of its historic roots in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod.
Well, we come back to that question, don't we? Why is corporate America willing to thumb its nose at Thrivent at a fair number of its customers? Thrivent, if you don't recall, used to be...
Wasn't it a merger between Aid Association for Lutherans and Lutheran Brotherhood?
That's right. I think he was a merger between those two benefits associations, the financial institutions. and they merged together to become Thrivent. I want to say about 10 years ago, what was it they were doing? They were funding, did they fund Planned Parenthood?
They gave a, I don't know if they offered a Thrivent Choice dollars to like a pro-choice organization, nonprofit or something or other.
And that alarmed a lot of people. They kind of responded to it, but that was kind of the beginning of the end for a lot of their customers. And then, of course, at the very beginning of June, they put an Instagram post up celebrating with the Pride flag, basically celebrating Pride Month. And I'm sure in this case, you've got an institution that was once associated with Lutherans in the United States that probably their corporate mentality, they no longer associate themselves with Lutherans. They were originally called Thrivent for Lutherans. And then they dropped the For Lutherans a long time ago. So just another financial institution now that's trying to maybe hope that Grandma Schmidt, who's got their money tied up with them, doesn't have an Instagram account. That was the kind of the gamble they took there. But I think after that happened, I contacted Jeff. We were on vacation. I just said, we probably need to take the Thrivent Choice section off of our donate page because we can't be associated with this, which is what we did.
Yes. We're willing to walk away from, I think it was about $7,000 last year in Thrivent Choice dollars. Jack, Ponca City, Oklahoma. Going into the second week, we have a lot of prior recordings, second week of May. A lot of prior recordings with Pastor Todd doing the intros to the podcast and the lead-ins after commercial breaks. So my question is this. Are you on vacation or is someone having health issues? In either case, I think you owe it to your listeners to put a message on your site.
Well, you know, if someone was having health issues, we really run an efficient organization around here because it's a lot of work to put those. Those were the Making the Case presentations from 2020, our virtual Making the Case conference during COVID. And it was a lot of work to put all that together. So we must have planned beautifully. No, everyone's perfectly healthy. Jeff went to Florida. That's what happened.
Craig went to Colorado.
Yeah, Todd stayed home.
Probably did honeydew chores.
Exactly.
Doesn't sound like vacation to me,
very,
my friend.
A very long list. I much prefer spending my time that way, but traveling doesn't appeal to me. That's what happened. Jeff went to Florida. Craig went to Colorado. Wilkins stayed home. And we got, I think we haven't had that much actual weekday time off in a long time.
We had a debate in the car there. And then, of course, Tori got tired of it. But, of course, I kept it up. But is it Colorado or is it Colorado?
Craig's obsessed with pronunciations. He is obsessed with it. This is another point of a man who majors in minors. How many times do we have to hear about Barack Obama's, how he pronounces Pakistan? I mean, so I don't know what the answer is. I don't know what the answer is, Craig. Do you know?
I mean, I think a simple Google search would probably answer that question.
No. He would rather
seconds.
Talk about this for another 10, 15 years.
I guess it depends on who you ask.
You know, when I went to the University of Missouri, the people in Missouri said Missouri.
Mm-hmm. That's how my mom pronounced it.
They knew if you were a true native.
Yeah.
So
my mom, Kansas native, pronounced it Missouri, which is a way a lot of Missourians do, but everyone else looks at the word and says it's Missouri.
How did you decide, Craig, which one was right?
Well, first of all, that sounds like a debate for the next trip in the car right there.
Craig, when you're not around, we don't talk about mundane things like that, but who came down, what was the right answer on the pronunciation?
I think at the end of the day, we decided to, I wasn't going to change anyone's mind and they weren't going to change my mind. So the way that you pronounce it is the way that you pronounce it. So I don't think it got decided.
There ain't no good guys. There ain't no bad guys. There's just you and me and we just disagree.
Hey, did you guys know, did you see that this probably means nothing to either of you, but Cormac McCarthy died. Do you know who I'm talking about?
I have no idea.
Very famous author. Author of my second favorite book of all time. My first.
Craig, have you heard of him?
No, I've never heard of him.
He wrote The Road. He wrote No Country for Old Men. My favorite novel of all time.
I've seen that movie, but, yeah. But I have not read the book.
He died today.
I'm sorry.
It makes me sad, but he was a tremendous author. And my first favorite book, To Kill a Mockingbird. And my second favorite book, No Country for Old Men.
There you go. It's an Issues Etc. trivia question at the singles event Friday night.
All right.
this This email from Brian is somewhat related to what Jack was getting at. Thank you for the excellent podcast you provide. I'm a longtime listener. I kindly ask that you consistently mark repeat episodes such that I can choose whether to listen to these episodes. I believe you failed to mark repeat episodes during the week of May 28. Brian concludes, thank you.
We have been marking the anything that we're playing on the air and we're putting on the website.
Well, so the first couple of days of that, those hymns, repeat hymns, we did not have Encore on the text.
So I missed it?
No. You don't have anything to do with the text, Craig. You're talking about, you put the pre-roll spot.
Right.
Yeah, so this is a person looking at his screen, either cell phone, laptop, PC, and it's saying, the hymn, the evening hymn, Abide With Me. And I remember in Florida, I went in and changed a couple and put Encore on there.
Okay.
So that was, it was initially, done, but done late.
I didn't do it, and I debated about whether to do it, and then I thought, you know, the hymn sings are perennial. They're kind of evergreen. It's not like they're going to have outdated material in them. So it was a judgment call on my part.
One final email regarding something we played during our vacation. Gene in Illinois, it was great to hear Matt Walsh's voice on Issues, Etc. Even if it was from 2020, Matt Walsh continues to fight the transgender insanity and encourages others to do the same. His courageous leadership has put him and his family at great risk. Yet he continues, we Issues, Etc. listeners need to hear more from Matt Walsh. And I couldn't agree more, Gene in Illinois.
And I was struck by how prescient Walsh was, because we're talking 2020. It's 2023 now. He has a much higher profile now than he did then. And he has kind of made the name for himself with his What Is a Woman documentary. And he was already seeing many of the troubles that we face right now 3 years ago when he presented for the Issues, Etc. Making the Case conference. When we come back, I think we're going to be talking with Joy Pullman of The Federalist about LGBT activism and targeting children.
The Church's Music from the 20th Century. The 17th Century. The 11th Century. The 8th Century. The 4th Century. The best of the Church's music from the past 2,000 years. LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Luther Academy provides additional theological education for our mission partners around the world, specifically pastors who are asking for additional education but do not have the necessary resources in their own church bodies. By donating to Luther Academy today, you will be supplying food, housing, books, professors, and travel for Lutheran pastors who attend our conferences. To learn more about Luther Academy and how you can donate today, visit lutheracademy.com. LutherAcademy.com.
Not everyone is comfortable with new technology. Dial-A Podcast gives all generations of your congregation an easy way to hear your sermons, or even devotionals and Bible studies. Once you've completed a simple one-time setup, we take care of the rest. All your congregants have to do is dial the number from any phone to listen to your latest podcast, all at no additional cost to them. Dial-A Podcast. Extend the reach of your sermons. Get started at dialapodcast.com now.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers, you're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by becoming an Issues, Etc. congregational sponsor. Bethlehem Lutheran, Fairborn, Ohio. Faith Lutheran, Dunedin, Florida. Holy Cross Lutheran, Carlisle, Iowa. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida. Mount Calvary Lutheran, Lititz, Pennsylvania. Peace Lutheran, Sussex, Wisconsin. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Waverly, Iowa. St. Peter Lutheran, Arlington, Wisconsin. And Trinity Lutheran, Weatherford, Texas. Find out how your confessional Lutheran church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Support Donate, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes an Issues Etc. sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the podcast, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal.